Welcome to the Toffee Blue Extra Show, your midweek extra source of all things Everton. We're back this week and I'm with Paul again. Welcome, Paul.
Hiya, Tom, mate. It's great to be back, mate. Let's crack on.
How are you doing? What have you been up to this week?
This week, just been getting back in the gym, trying to get a bit fitter. I've let myself go the last few months watching the Blues, and I've got to get a bit leaner. So, been in the gym 3 times, going to go again tomorrow. And other than that, not much really. Playing Football Manager, that's finally arrived, the new one. I'm up till December on it, my first season. I've got to the League Cup semi-final. My first game as manager was against Liverpool at Anfield. Whoa. And I managed to rob a draw off them in real life. Honest to God, I got absolutely hammered, and it was a carbon copy of what happened there last season when Rooney scored a penalty. I just hung on for dear life, robbed a shady goal, and then boiled red piss and took my point and got my reign as manager on this Football Manager game off to a good start. So, yeah, playing Football Manager and working and just trying to get a few pounds off.
Yeah, I have to call you Paul Allardyce.
I'm not that fat, mate.
No, I mean because of the management, not because of the hair, not because of the weight, because of the Football Manager.
Not for the belly or the microwave end.
not for being the gravy man, of course. But yeah, that's decent. What are we doing today? We're going through a couple of segments today. Our first segment, we'll be talking about Marko Arnautović and whether he'll be coming to Everton in the January transfer window or next summer. And then we'll be talking about the second segment will be a starting 11 show for Cardiff. Who will be starting the game against Cardiff at the weekend? And also the third segment will be danger men. Whether Cardiff have actually got any danger men at all, and we'll be running through the Everton ones as well, of course. We can't take them for granted. We've got to take them seriously, of course. But we'll be talking about the danger men for Cardiff anyway. So that's the segments for this week. So on to the first one, Marko Arnautović. There's been some talk about Arnautović that's come out during the international break. Whether it's one of those international break rumours that just comes out because no one has anything to report, we're not sure. But it does seem quite legitimate because it was an interview with 442, a legitimate source, coming from the brother of Marko Arnautović, who was also his agent, who basically came out and said that he's open to a move to the big clubs, basically. And he named a few clubs, including Everton, and he said Everton were interested, and that Marko might be interested in coming to in the future. So so that's basically what started this speculation. And then Manuel Pellegrini has come out today, I'm speaking on Thursday. Pellegrini's come out in his press conference, and he said basically he might be thinking about a move to the bigger clubs, basically, but he's happy where he is. So it's lovely to hear a West Ham manager admit that Everton are a bigger club anyway, so that's great, because the fans don't seem to think so, but obviously we know it. But that's the story with Arnautović anyway. Do you think there's anything to these rumours for?
Probably not. I mean, I think there's something to the rumours that he wants out of West Ham and that feels he's outgrown them. But is there anything in him coming here? I wouldn't think so, because I mean, I think he's a good player, and I think he's good enough to be a squad player in a top 6 team. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't think he'd walk into any top 6 side. I don't even think he'd walk into our side, really, personally. I mean, I would like him if he was got offered and it was the right sort of deal, but I think he's one of these players who suits being a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
I mean, there's questions about his attitude. I think he's one of these people who he kind of likes to be the person who the manager builds around, type thing. If a team's going to be swapped around and accommodated, it should be swapped around and accommodated for him. Whereas if he goes to a top 6 club, they're not going to change the way they play just to get the best out of him. And I don't think we changed the way we play to get the best out of him. But I think he cost an absolute bomb. You know, he would. West Ham would charge a club through the nose for him, because they know if they sell him, their notoriously prickly fan base will go absolutely crazy. Do you know what I mean? Just anything will set that fan base off. And if they sell their main shirt seller, their every West Ham kid's favourite player, their main source of goals in their team, when you look at it,
yeah,
they're going to want to sell him for an absolute king's ransom. And I think we could probably afford to pay that, but we're not going to spend 60, 70 million on Marko Arnautović when he's not going to walk into our team. Whereas someone like the United, if they're desperate in by January time, if they're still not in the top four and Jose's not getting results, or if someone like, I don't know, maybe Arsenal, maybe if Arsenal haven't quite broke through the top four, back into the top four, and they've got a lot of games coming up, like Europa League, they could look at him and think, yeah, he's worth bringing in. So, yeah, I think there's something in these rumours. I think Arnautovic clearly wants out of West Ham. He wants to go play for a club playing in Europe. Clearly feels that he's at that level. But I don't really think Everton are in the conversations for him. I think that's maybe just his agent or his brother, whoever it is who said these comments. I think that's just him throwing clubs' names out there, hoping that some conversations can start. Because saying that, Arnautovic has used us to get a better deal somewhere else before. Do you remember a few seasons ago when he was at Stoke and we got linked with him quite heavily?
Yeah,
and it turned out there was nothing ever in it at all. It was literally just to put other clubs on notice, thinking, oh, well, if you want Arnautovic, you better get in now, because Everton are one of these clubs that are knocking on the door for him. They're going to offer him a contract. And I don't think we ever even bid for him. I don't think there was any serious talk about it. So just seems like it's a trick that's working once. They're using it again. Just throw Everton's name in there. They've got money, and some other club that he clearly fancies more will pick the phone up and make the move.
Yeah, definitely. I can see him doing that, to be honest. It's obviously been done before, hasn't it? But to be honest, I think I'd rather see Arnautovic go to Man U and Lukaku lose his place to Arnautovic up front than see him at Everton. I think, yeah, from a wider point of view, that's definitely what I'd rather see. But I think he's got like 3 years left on his contract or something. So obviously, as you said, he'll go for quite a price, with West Ham being tricky customers as well. It would be quite pricey, and it's not really urgent at Everton at the moment, so we don't really need him. So I can't see us forking out that much for him. And he's getting on. I think he's like 29, 30. He's not the youngest player. I wouldn't say he's getting on, but he's not in his younger years, so he's not got 10 years left, has he, in his prime. So it's a funny one, really. He seemed like a bit of a late developer, because he wasn't the player he is now at Stoke. He never really, maybe on and off, seemed to hit the heights at Stoke that he did, because there was a bit of friction with Mark Hughes as well at the time. I know he had a bit of arguments with the manager, and his attitude to me didn't seem right. So I don't think, for that reason, I wouldn't like to see him in Everton shirt, because I wouldn't want to see him causing friction within the squad at the moment, where the squad dynamic is absolutely perfect at the moment. And I think Marko Arnautovic might possibly damage that. I don't know if you agree with that, but I just think he's a bit of a player. He may be a little bit inconsistent as well.
Yeah, he's one of those players. We've had a few of them over the last few years, haven't we? Morales was probably the main one. You could argue Vlasic is one.
Yeah.
Who are some other people? I mean, I'm not saying this to just outright slag these players off, but the type of players where they've kind of got this attitude of, well, I want to play the way I want to play, and if the manager doesn't agree with it, then you can get stuffed, type thing. And you can't typically have that attitude, especially when you're going to go to a big club. I mean, it's clicking for him at West Ham, because Moyes converted him last season to a striker. And as I said earlier on, Moyes just realised that he was the most talented player in that group of players that he had to work with last season, and thought, right, I've just got to build this team around him. Everything's got to go through him. Yeah. And it worked for him. I mean, I don't even think it was that way at Stoke, was it? When he was at Stoke, they had a couple of other good players, like Shaqiri was there, I think. They have Joe Allen as well at that point.
They had Boyan, and they had Afolay. They had a few good little players.
Yeah, he wasn't the only star on the stage at Stoke, whereas he sort of was at West Ham, really, especially last season when they were desperate and they were so poor. So I think he's one of those people, as you said, he likes to be made to feel important, type thing. If a manager's going to pin it, the type of approach that some managers have, where it's like, I'm going to have you up against the wall and I'm going to really dress you down and you're going to do it my way or the highway, it just doesn't work on a player like that, I don't think. And sometimes that approach is needed. Now, I don't think Silva's that type of manager at all, but you know there is going to be times when there's going to be games where certain players don't perform, and Silva's going to have to really get the message across to them that you were poor there and you really need to shape up. And certain players are not going to take kindly to that. But if you're one of those people who don't take kindly to that, e.g. Ross Barkley, it happened notoriously with him, got told to start delivering and he started sulking. Yeah. I don't want any more of that. If you're not willing to take constructive criticism on board, then I don't really want to see you lining up for Everton.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. I think he would change the dynamic. So For me, I wouldn't, to be honest. For the price that we'd have to pay for him, I'd say no. Just to sum it up for us, would you agree that you don't want him, or would you want him at Everton?
I'd be willing to have him if Silva wanted him, type thing, and he was gettable, because I think we're at that point now where everyone still trusts Silva and Brands. If they went out and wanted to get him, then yeah, I would be willing to give it a go and see if it works. But I just don't see that happening because of what you said. He's on the older side. He's going to be 30 before the end of the season. He's not got the best track record when it comes to behaving himself, sort of thing. You know, he seems like one of those players. He's always got a stupid red card in him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's going to lash on with an elbow, or he's going to fly in with his studs, or just something like that. He's got a bit of a loon streak. So he's old. He's got a bit of a self-destructive side to his personality. He's going to cost an absolute fortune. You know it.
Yeah.
You know, West Ham, the way they are, the way their owners are, bad knobheads, the way their fans love them, they're going to demand just stupid money from him. I wouldn't even be shocked if they did something similar to what you Dynamo Kiev used to do with Ukraine.
Yeah.
What Dynamo Kiev used to do with Yarmolenko whenever anyone used to come calling for Yarmolenko, they were their owner, because he was that much of a lunatic, would just go, he'd go over the clubs that were offering him with a fine-tooth comb. No, I don't believe you're the right club for this player. I'm not selling. I'm not even going to open negotiations with you. It's like, well, it's not up to you to decide what kind of club we are. Here's the money. Do you want the deal or do you not want the deal? How's the player think? Because I can see West Ham's owners kind of doing that. If we did go and offer them 60, 70 million quid for Arnautovic, I can imagine those owners turning around and thinking, Everton are our rivals. We're not silent to one of our immediate rivals. Now, I know for a fact, and we all know that they are not our immediate rivals, but that's just to say the sense of idiocy they've got. So Arnautovic, if he goes anywhere, I think, as you mentioned earlier on, I think United's probably his best bet, you know.
Yeah.
Because especially in another month, given another month or two, if results are still not going their way and they are really starting to panic, I can see Jose just splashing out a big load of money if he's able to, because I know he didn't get any money to spend in the summer. But if United give Jose the money to spend in January to try and put out some fires and get them playing again, I can see Jose just panic buying someone like Arnautovic and dropping Lukaku for a while, because Lukaku's bang out of form and Arnautovic is a player who, when he plays up top, he will work and he will run just everything that Lukaku won't do.
Yeah.
So, no, to sum up, no, I don't think Everton are in for him. I don't think we're going to spend the money on him, even if we were interested. But if it just came out of the blue that we did go in for him, I would trust Silver and Brands, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, me too. It looks like a no from us. On your bike, Marco, son. Off you go. No, we'll be open to it. Obviously, we'll trust Brands and Silver if that's what they decide. And if they've sent scouts out anyway, because there must be, obviously, no smoke without fire, there must be something to it. But it'll be an interesting one to see in January, whether we make a move for him. We're going to talk about the starting 11 show. They give me the starting 11 show this week. So normally Max and Jerry do it, but they've given it to us on the extra show. So we welcome the starting 11 show with open arms. So we're going to run through the starting 11 against Cardiff this weekend and how we're going to line up. Because there's a couple of tricky situations in there, depending on injuries and depending on fitness and things like that. So we're going to run through it anyway. But we'll start with Paul anyway. What do you think the starting level would be, Paul?
Pickford in goal, obviously. Coleman at right back. Keane as centre half. Big one is, do you stick with Mina or do you bring Zuma back? I think he'll go with Mina. I think Mina deserves another start after a clean sheet, even if that's harsh on Zuma. Dean at left back. Now, the midfield, that's where it gets tricky, because we don't know what the injury situation is, and this video is probably going to go out after Silva does his press conference and basically just tells everyone where how the land lies with certain players and their knocks. So let's go. I'll just imagine that everyone's fully fit for a sec, and then we'll come back to it and discuss other possibilities. But if everyone was fully fit, then I would go with Gomez and Gay in the middle. Of course, Sigurdsson in front of them is the number 10. I would have Bernard on the left. I would throw Luckman up on the right.
Yeah.
But if he was fully fit, I think Luckman's probably deserves a go now. Walcott, people have been on his back the last few weeks, and he has been out of form, but I don't think he's been really bad. I think he's just had a couple of off games. But if you have a couple of off games and there's a hungry kid behind you who's taking his chances when he gets them, then it's very, very... How long can you keep faith for that older player for before that younger kid deserves his chance? So, Luttman, I think Luttman's earned the right to start in a league game now. So I would like to see Luttman start on the right. And in front of them, he's Brazilian. He only costs 50 million. Richarlison up front.
Yes.
That's if everyone was fit. And obviously, we don't know if everyone is going to be fit. So we'll come back to that in a bit. But yeah, if it was up to me, we'd and I could pick any player I wanted to from our squad, I'd play the exact same team played against Chelsea. Just I'd drop Wolcott for Luttman on the right.
Yeah. I'd agree with you pretty much there. But for the centre-back situation for me, obviously, I'd start with Pickford and goal. But the centre-back situation is the big decision for Marco Silva this weekend. And for me, as much as Michael Keane's in form, I'd just love to see Meunier and Zuma together. And I don't think we've got many opportunities. If we don't keep him, of course, because obviously he could stay on after his loan spell, Kurt Zuma. But I just want to see Meunier and Zuma together as much as possible, because I think that partnership excites me. And as good as Keane's playing, I really want to see them together. So I'm going to go for Mina and Zuma together at centre-back. And then my mate on Twitter, Luca Dean, left-back. I'll never stop saying that. Dixie Dean. And then we'll have, obviously, James Coleman at right-back. He had a couple of difficult games with Ireland in the international break, but he comes back to welcome his place in the team at right-back. And then Gay and Gomez. I'm hoping Gomez will be back fit, because obviously he was away with Portugal and he had a few cuts and bruises, so they sent him home. But I don't think that's anything major, so Gay and Gomez will start again in the middle to continue their partnership. Obviously, if all was well, as you said, I'd love to see Sigurdsson start, but we saw him in a boot come out to the Chelsea game after the horrible Jorginho tackle, even though he played on, and he played on quite well. But that's a bit of a concern. So if he's not back in, I think I'd go with the same as you if he is. But if he's not back in, then I'd be tempted to... number 10 question's a big one, but I'd put Bernard at number 10. I know he played that quite a bit for Shakhtar, and I'd like to see him in the number 10 role with a bit of freedom to roam around and just show his skills off, really. And then, obviously, that would leave the left-wing position available for Adam Ola-Luckman to come in. I know he was sent home from England under 21 due to minor concerns, but hopefully he'll be back fit for the game. So I'd stick Luckman out left, keep Wolcott in the side. He's wasted a couple of chances. He's not played awfully, but he has wasted a couple of chances. And it does beg the question, how long he's going to keep his place in the side. But I think in a team like that, where they're all playing well, he can hopefully play his way through that run of form. So I'd keep Wolcott in there on the right and put Luckman on the left if Sigurdsson's out. But obviously, if Sigurdsson's in there, I'd do exactly the same as you've done and probably be tempted to put Luckman in there, because, as you say, like, what's he got to do? Like, he's come off the bench and he's been absolutely brilliant in his cameo performances. And against Gormaya, he was the best player on the pitch for me. And what else has he got to do to get in the team?
Did you see that amazing bit of skill he did to just leave three Chelsea players for dead? I can't believe no one's picked up on that. Like, Match of the Day, Sky, nobody seems to have played that. The only people who seem to be onto it were just Evertonians on Twitter, like, sharing it around, but it just didn't seem to get any attention at all. It was great. It was like he was a ghost.
Yeah.
Went through all three of them and left them all for dead. And they're lucky their goalkeeper was alert to that, because he was pretty much clean through on goal. If that goalkeeper had hesitated for a split second, he could have scored there. He was only 10 yards from goal. That goalie, whoever he is, that one he got from Bilbao.
Yeah, Kepa.
Kepa. He did well there, getting out to snuff it out quick. But just going back to the injury situation at the minute, because obviously, as we said, we'll preface with the fact that we don't know who's fit and who's not. We don't know what the options we have. But let's just for a minute pretend Sigurdsson's not fit and Sigurdsson can't play after that bad tackle from Jorginho. Would you be tempted to go 4-4-2? Maybe not play a number 10? We've not seen Tosin play up front in a 4-4-2 for us yet, really, have we? I wouldn't mind giving that a go. I mean, you're not going to get many better opportunities to experiment a bit than Cardiff at all, are you? So maybe go Tosin and Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
don't know, try Tosin and Richarlison, maybe. I mean, it's just an option because there's always talk that Silva wants to try out three at the back at one point. Why not try out two up top?
Yeah.
And not play a number 10 and kind of just have your wingers hug the lines a little bit and just throw balls into the box and let someone bring them down for Tosin. Because Tosin, I think, in those early weeks of the season when he was up front on his own and he wasn't scoring and people were getting a bit concerned about it, saying he was out of form, I think he was struggling with the fact that he was just getting left so isolated, especially in those games where we got men sent off. He just didn't have anyone around the 18-yard box helping him out, feeding him. I'd love to see somebody help him out like that, because do you remember how great Lukaku used to play when he had Kone next to him?
Yeah, that's Kone.
People imagine Lukaku had a proper striker helping him out in up front 4-4-2. I think it's worth a go, you know. I mean, my first choice would obviously be the lineup I said, but if Sigurdsson's not available, or I don't know, Luckman's not available on the wing, and we want to put Richarlison back out on the wing, I wouldn't mind seeing us play with two strikers, play Tosin and Calvert-Lewin maybe, and have Calvert-Lewin maybe get his head on things and bringing it down for Tosin to have a few shots, or Richarlison or Tosin to kind of just draw defenders out and let Richarlison get in behind. I'd love to see that at some point. I mean, I think we would have seen that in the cups at some point if we were still in it. Maybe we still will at some point in the season, but I can't think of many better chances we're going to get to try out something new than this game that we're going into now when we're playing a basically bang average championship team at Goodison.
Yeah, but I agree with that. That's an interesting point of view. I think I've seen at Hull or Watford, I think I've seen Marco Silva play with a 4-2-2-2, which is similar to a 4-4-2, but with the centre midfielders dropping back into defence midfield and the wingers playing as basically attacking midfielders, but out wide, more like inside forward. So that would be an option as well. And I think if you slotted Tosin into that team at the moment, he's got to get his confidence back in a team like that, surely, at the moment. It's the right game to put him in there as well against Cardiff. I think, with all respect to them, I think if he's going to get his confidence back, surely. I know Silva said that about Gormeyer and he didn't get a goal, but he's a good player, and I do think that would help him, to be honest. So that's an option. That's a good option if he were to have the injuries. And I don't think it'd disturb the side too much, because I think the squad dynamics is what's working. It's not just the formation that I don't think the squad would be too disturbed by that either. I think it'd be a good option, to be honest. I'd be happy to see that. But I'd be completely happy. Obviously, as well, I go with Richarlison up top. Hopefully, that'll be the system, because I think Richarlison and Tosin up front would be an interesting combination. I can see that possibly working out. I don't think Richarlison would overshadow him too much. I think he'd be making those runs and possibly be laying it off to Tosin. Like that'd be an interesting little combination. Tosin and Calvert-Lewin, I've seen them a couple of times before and I wasn't too impressed with them two up front together. But I think if they were playing well, it'd work. And
If they got a full hour or so, 70 minutes, and to try and, you know, develop a bit of a relationship and understanding, then it could click. Do you know what I mean? You know, getting being on the pitch at the same time together, it's 10 minutes here and there when one of them's come off the bench. They're not going to develop any type of partnership doing that. So if something like that could hopefully work, but as you said, Richarlison and Tosin, I think that's mouthwatering. I'd love to see that at some point. If not this game, then hopefully sometime in the not too distant future, because as you said, I want to see Tosin back scoring goals, but I don't want to see Richarlison moved away from the number 9 position, the centre. I mean, I know he's probably going to go back on the left at some point, but I want to see Richarlison stay up top as a striker for as long as possible. But I want to get Tosin into the team as well. And maybe even if Sigurdsson is fully fit, maybe it might be just best to just give him a week off, give him a rest sort of thing, make sure he doesn't burn out.
Mm. So if we're going with Richarlison and Tosin up front, who are we having out wide? Would it be Bernard and Luckman?
I would personally if Luckman was fit, but if not, then maybe Walcott and Bernard then. Or you never even know. This might sound harsh, but maybe Luckman and Walcott and just go for pure pace.
Yeah.
Down the wings, do you know what I mean? Just stretch them, create more room for those two guys in the centre, because Bernard's, you know, he's not slow, but he's more technical, isn't he? He's going to look to that kind of cut in and kind of leave people for dead, whereas Luckman and Walcott, you can just imagine those two on the break. Ooh. And with Calvert, with Richarlison or Towson charging up behind them, you know, we could cause some absolute murder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Dangerous.
Just go for pure pace in as our front four, whilst the likes of Gay and Gomez or Schneiderlin or Davis, if one of those gets on, if they just create a wall in the centre midfield. I really would like to see that. I think Goodison would like that as well, because Goodison, we know, likes a fast tempo when we're attacking. If we just get on the ball and if someone gets their head down and charges, especially if it's towards the Gladys Street in the second half, I can just imagine the stadium roof. I can just imagine the stadium rocking. Yeah. You see that? So I definitely want to see us play 4-4-2 soon, and I think we're not going to get many better goals than to do it this weekend. Even if it's only for 20 minutes at the end, let's say everything goes to plan and we're 2 or 3 nil up, and we can afford to take a few players off and rest them. I'd really like to see Silva give it a go. I really would.
Yeah, definitely. Watch out, Cardiff. We're on our way. It's a game we've got to take seriously. But that's our starting 11 anyway. We're doing this segment on Danger Men, Cardiff. We've got Cardiff at home at the weekend, and we're going to talk about Everton's Danger Men and also Cardiff's Danger Men, if they've got any. So we're gonna have a look at that. It's a bit of a difficult one, but we're gonna have a look at their squad and see where we see any threat anyway, where they can trouble us, if at all. We're taking this game for granted a little bit, but I'm hoping we'll be able to pull it off after all this. Otherwise, we're just gonna look stupid. But I'm not sure. I think we've had a look through the teams and we've struggled to find danger men. But we'll see what we've come up with anyway. What have you come up with, Paul?
As you said there, mate, I had a flick through their squad earlier this afternoon when I found out we were doing this, and I was just going through the names and, oh, bloody hell, I don't know almost any of those people are. Never heard of any of them. And normally when there's teams that come up from the Championship, you usually find one or two players that you recognise, like, you know, players who've maybe been in the Premier League before with other clubs and kind of gone down and just been sort of journeymen. But there's only one or two in that Cardiff team who... Do you know what I mean? Who I even stopped thinking, oh yeah, I recognise his name. Other than that, they're like an absolute bang average Championship team that's spent their whole careers in the lower leagues. Half them. I mean, one name that stuck out to me when I went through it was Junior Hoylett. Do you remember him?
Yeah,
I think he's Canadian. He's little pacey winger. He, as you said, he burst onto the scene with Blackburn about 7 or 8 years ago. And yeah, he had a lot of attention around him. A lot of people were rating him, saying, "Right, this kid's gonna get a move to a big, big club. He's gonna be one of the next big things of English football." And I remember when he was easily the best player in that Blackburn team at the time. I remember he played against us and he just ripped us to bits. I think it was that game where did we win it late with a Cahill goal? Some game 7 or 8 years ago. It was that last season Blackburn were in the league before they went down. We went down there and I think we won it with Cahill in stoppage time, but the two goals they scored against us that day, if it's this game I'm thinking about, I think Hoyler just ripped us to bits. And as I said, it was a player who really, really looked like he was going to be making some massive, massive strides in his career, and God knows what's happened to him. He just seems to, it's just not panned out at all. I mean, I remember we got linked with him and he basically chased the money at QPR.
Yeah.
Terrible move for him. QPR was just a club that was full of mercenaries. Do you remember them about four or five years ago?
Yeah.
When they went down, just full of players who were there just to get the wages and go home and not care. And he was one of the prime examples of that. And it seems that we've just bit him on the ass, because he went down with QPR and I think until this season he hadn't been back in the Premier League.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, you'd think, because he has got talent, but you'd think the other clubs in the league clearly looked at what he did at QPR and think, no, we don't need a player like that. He can rock the Championship, and that's where he's been all along. So he's come back up at Cardiff now, and I think he, as I said, he's a player who's clearly got a bit of ability, and we are Everton, aren't we? We are that team that likes to allow players who've done nothing for ages to just suddenly look world class and get goals and look brilliant. So yeah, I think we need to keep a bit of an eye on Hoylett, if he's still the Hoylett that I remember him being, but other than that, Christ, who is there who's in that team? I mean, I don't want to just completely knock them, because they seem like they're an honest group of professionals, but I don't see them staying up at all, what they've got. I mean, I know they haven't got the money that Fulham and Wolves have got, because they spent big when they came up, whereas they've just kind of had to stick with what they've got, build around the nucleus type thing. But with the manager they've got, Warnock, with the squad that they've got, looking at it the way it is now, I wouldn't bet any money on them staying up at all. I really, they say there's no easy games in the Premier League, but not every game has to be hard. This game should not be hard. It really should not be. We've got to be keeping a clean sheet against these. I'll be very, very displeased if we let these score, honest to God.
Yeah. I don't even think they want... Like, the manager doesn't want to stay up anyway. I remember he came out earlier in the season and said, I don't like managing in the Premier League. Neil Warnock, yeah, you think I prefer.
I'll have your job then if you don't want it. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? So there's lots of people have it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I said at the time, like, why isn't the owner saying, all right, then if you don't want to manage in the Premier League, this is our big opportunity. Off you go then. Oh,
but, imagine you're a Cardiff supporter and you don't manage us. I can't really be bothered with this. Yeah, it's like, do you want to pick your coat up and go then and give it to a manager who's got a bit of fight and a bit of desire and wants to prove himself and wants to keep us up? You can't be saying things like that. That's just the type of thing Moyes used to say. That, do you know what I mean? Like, even Moyes wasn't that bad, but you know, just this sort of, oh, this is grimness, look at our lot in life, we just have to try our best and hope disasters and strike. It's like, mate, if you're going to throw the towel in, when did he say that?
It was pretty early season. It was probably 2 months ago now, I think.
Yeah, I know he's been chatting about retiring soon, and I think that's different if he's saying stuff like, oh yeah, I think I'm getting a bit too old for this now, this is probably going to be my last season, I call it today. But if that's the actual words he used, I don't really like managing in the Premier League, then Jesus Christ, what a brain dead comment to make.
It's crazy. It's like Vincent Tan as well, the owner. He's not a manager who, from my experience, is one to hold on to a manager for too long, obviously, as well, because he sacked Malky Mackay after he'd done quite well with Cardiff. But
and after he got caught, after he'd been racially abusing him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I will say that for Vincent Tan, he got a really bad rep back when Cardiff were last in the Premier League, when they had Malky Mackay and he sacked him, and it was like, what's this foreign owner doing? He doesn't got a clue what he's doing sacking a solid, reliable, professional British manager. He's deluded. He doesn't know what he wants. Mm-hmm. And then it came out months later that Mackay was just a complete racist and had been saying so. Got busted completely. Text messages leaked out of just some horrible comments he'd been making about players and their backgrounds and their ethnicities. And Malcolm Tan, to be fair to him, proper banter, hung on to this information for ages. Didn't release it. When he was getting loads of abuse off idiot pundit saying, what are you doing sacking our mate Malky Mackay? He just stayed quiet, didn't come out and justify why he'd done it. And then when it looked like Malky Mackay had the Wigan job in his back pocket, he had a job lined up and it was about to be announced and everything, then Mackay leaked that. Tan leaked that information just to piss on the parade.
Yeah.
Completely. And then Mackay subsequently didn't get that job that he literally was going to get announced as in the morning.
Yeah,
so I've got time for Tan like that. He's banter, innit? Pure banter.
Very clever from Vincent Tan. There you go, we'll give you that. We don't condone racism, but like, what a clever man. Come on, like, that's...
I condone a victim of racist abuse getting his own back in a proper, clever, well thought out way.
Yeah, no, he's like, getting his own back in a bad way, like a completely legal way. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. And obviously, it's wonderful. It's brilliant. But I didn't realise that about Malky Mackay as well. What an idiot. Hope he never comes near Everton.
Scandal, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible. So, my danger man for Carl, I've got to admit, in the last couple of weeks, I'm big on fantasy Premier League, fantasy football, and I like my budget options. I've put Callum Patterson in there, who's the striker, the makeshift striker for Cardiff at the moment. I think he was a defender a couple of years ago. He's big, he's about 6'3", something like that, and he's quite broad as well. I think he started out as a defender. He's been playing as a midfielder, and basically what Neil Warnock's looked at him and said, you're a big lad, go up top. So he's been playing up top for the last couple of weeks, and he's banged a couple of goals in for the last couple of weeks, so he's found his way into my fancy Premier League team anyway. But so he's going to be my danger man, naturally. But I don't think he holds too much problems, because obviously Cardiff if they are going to use that option, they're going to hoof it up to him and just see what he can do with it. I don't think he's got that much skill to do anything much with it. The goals he scored haven't been majorly impressive. The only player I'd mention that's got much about them, not to slag off all the other players, but because obviously, as we mentioned before we started recording, there's a couple of talented players in there, like the Icelandic midfielder, Gunnarsson. But the one who stood out for me is Bobby Reid. He's got something about him, and he's probably the only one who's got something about them, to me, the only one who's got something about him in that squad. He didn't play the last game, but Bobby Armani Reid. Armani is his middle name, and he's a good little lad. He's not played much Premier League football, but he's a raw talent. He's one to watch if he does play. But there's our Cardiff one to watch anyway. We managed to get a couple of names out there. But what do you think for Everton anyway? Who's gonna be the one to watch for Everton? A little bit easier.
If he plays, I think Bernard. I said this before the Chelsea preview that I think he's due a goal and one's going to arrive soon. And I'll go with Bernard again. I mean, he's sort of similar to Walcott in the sense that he hasn't been brilliant the last few weeks. I don't think he's been bad at any point. I don't think he deserves dropping, even like some people do with Walcott. But he's kind of not hit the levels that he hit in those first few weeks when he came into the team, like he did against Leicester and games like that. So I really want to see Bernard get a goal. And I've said this before, I think as soon as he gets one, then the floodgates will open and he'll start scoring quite consistently, or at least getting assists consistently. So I think our danger man will be Bernard. Well, another player I'll mention is probably Yerry Mina, because as we've seen it, he's a massive lad. He scores goals from set pieces. I think Yerry Mina's going to get on the end of is going to get his head on the end of a corner, and he's going to stick one in the net at Goodison soon. And why can't it be this week if he plays? So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Mina score a goal off from a set piece, or other than that, maybe Richarlison's the easy one to say, but hopefully Tosin. If Tosin gets on the pitch at any point, I really want to see Tosin score, because I want to see Tosin kind of win people back around, because it seems that so far this season some supporters have maybe lost a bit of faith in him, or just don't think he's good enough to be a starter in our team anymore. And I want to see Tosin, if he gets on the pitch, really go out and really make an effort to impress people and get himself a goal and remind people of his quality. But yeah, my main player, Everton player to watch would be Bernard. Keep an eye on Yerry Mina as well, and hopefully if Tosin gets on at some point, Tosin will impress some people.
Yeah, surely this has got to be the game where Tosin gets on and gets a goal. Come on, like,
yeah,
if he's going to do it, it's hopefully going to be against Cardiff. With all respect to Cardiff, as we've said, but hopefully that will be the game for Tosin to get a goal. I was tempted to go with Richarlison. I always do for my danger man, because he's the obvious danger man for Everton. But just to boast about Fantasy Premier League again, I had Richarlison in my side before he played his first game for Watford. Just going to throw that out there. Just got to mention that. So from day one, Richarlison's been my man. But I'm going to put him aside for this week, because I keep on going for him and he's the obvious option. So I'm going to go with Ademola Lookman as Everton's danger man. Because he's been absolutely brilliant when he's come off the bench. And if he is to come into the side, if he's got over his injury, which kept him out of the England under 21 games, then he's my one to watch, because as we mentioned before, that lovely little piece of skill he did against Chelsea when he came off the bench. And not just that, I think he's played well when he's come off the bench. He's looked to create chances. He's got an assist a couple of weeks ago, and he played well in the friendly against Gormaya. He was, as I said, the best player on the pitch in my opinion. So I think if Lookman is to get his start finally, well deserved, then he's going to be the one to watch for me, because I think he could tiptoe through that Cardiff defence, with all respect, because I do think there's a couple of good defenders in there as well, like Sol Bamba. He's a good defender for Cardiff, but I do think Lookman could run rings around some of those players. So
he'll turn them inside out, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's just whether he'll start, isn't it? Whether he's whether he'll get thrown in there, because I can't see Silva dropping Walcott, to be honest, because he's messed up a couple of chances, but he's not done anything majorly wrong, and he's not being awful. He's just being average in a well-performing team. So
yeah, just out of form a bit, isn't he? That's it, really. I mean, players go out of form. It happens to everybody, and the only way to is you just, like, most of the time, you just got to play through it, haven't you? So, yeah, I agree with you. I want to see Lookman play myself. But if he doesn't, then hopefully the player who starts in front of him, whether that's Walcott or someone else, hopefully they justify their inclusion over him, because Lookman's really impressed the last few weeks, and I really want to see Lookman let off the leash and really, well, I'm going to close this off, really. I think Lookman has done a complete 180 on his attitude. He looks a completely different player than the person he looked like in the early weeks of the season when he just didn't look interested at all. I think Penny's dropping Lookman now, and I think he deserves a bit of recognition. I think he's earned the manager's trust. That's the way to say it. Yeah, I think the manager should have seen the fact that he's turned round and he's given it his all, and I think he should reward him with some more minutes. Hopefully, but we've got to trust Silva, whatever he decides.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's got to come sooner or later. Surely he's got to be given his chance, and this would be a good game to give him that chance, I think, unless Cardiff go for the approach that many teams have gone against Everton in recent weeks of just kicking lumps out of us, and then it might not be the best games that you come in. But he's got to get his chance sooner or later, and hopefully, I'd love to see him start against Cardiff, because he's knocking on the door and he can't do much more. He's knocking on the door until his knuckles are bleeding and the door's off his hinges, and he's got to get in there soon. So that's our danger man anyway. Thanks for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe to the video and comment below your danger man. Let us know who you think could be a threat from the Cardiff side, anyone we've left out of disrespect for the Cardiff players, or anyone you think for Everton as well might be a threat. So and give us a follow on social media. Our Twitter handles are below. Thanks a lot for joining us, Paul, this week.
No problem, mate. It's great to talk to you again. And just before we finish off, I'll just ask you, what score are you going to go for?
Oh, yes. We forgot about score predictions. I was on the Echo podcast this week and I went for 4-0. So I'm gonna stick and you're going to go 4-0. What about you?
Oh, you git. That was my one. And I didn't think you'd have that. I was going to go for 4-0. I think we'll score some goals, and I don't want to concede. I want to see us get clean sheets. Do you know what I mean? I love a clean sheet. Call me old-fashioned, but I love seeing our goalie not have to make any saves. So I'll go for a 4-0 as well. I'll stick to that. Go for a 4-0. But as long as we win, that's the important thing. And I think we will win. So come on, up the Blues.
Come on, you Blues. 4-0 all around from us. So that's us for this week. I think we're due to give someone a hiding soon. And if you're going to pick a team, it'll be Cardiff. With all respect to Cardiff, as I keep saying. But fingers crossed, 4-0. Everton 4, Cardiff 0. Put a bet on it. You've heard it here first from both of us. So stick a quid on it. Stick a tenner on it, maybe, if you're feeling lucky. So that's what we think anyway. Thanks a lot for tuning in. If you're listening on the podcast or the videos, make sure you subscribe. And thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure. Make sure you tune in next time on the Toffee Blues.